Amen. We met then, and he done me then like he done me tonight. He walked to me back then and handed me the mic and said, "Preach." And that's about all just put me on the spot. And that's all right. Amen. And I appreciate the privilege to be here. I appreciate this meeting. Hadn't it been a blessing? And I appreciate all the preaching that we've heard. And man, it has encouraged my heart, and I'm thankful for it. If you got a Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. And I'll just give you just a couple thoughts out of the book of Ephesians and get out of the way. And just try to be an encouragement to you tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4. And Ephesians chapter number 4. When you find your place, if you're able, would you stand? And we'll just read a couple of verses. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for the privilege to be in the house of God this evening. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our hearts this week. God, what a blessing it is to be able to gather around the Word of God and the freedoms that we have. God, to come together and worship, God, in spirit and truth. Father, I thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. God, I thank you, Lord, for Calvary and the blood of Jesus. God, that cleanseth from all sin and opens up our access to the throne of grace tonight. Lord, I ask you, God, that you would help us. God, you know that, Lord, I need you right now more than I've ever needed you. And God, I pray for a divine touch. God, I pray you'd speak to every heart. God, I pray you'd meet every need. Move in our midst. God, I pray, Lord, if there's one lost, you'd save them. God, anyhow, the will of God, meet the need. Draw them unto yourself. Lord, help the preacher that will follow. God, just help us, Lord, to worship. God, around the Word. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Bible said this. Of course, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, he said in verse number 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And I want to preach tonight just for a few moments on a worthy walk. Amen. It's important how we walk. Of course, this word walk here in this passage of Scripture has to do with our conduct or our manner of living. Now, we're living in a day when people think that it does not matter how you live or how you conduct yourself, but it does matter how we live. It does matter how we conduct ourselves in this world. As a matter of fact, how the Word of God says a lot about conduct. Amen. Now as you come to the book of Ephesians, Paul, as he writes all of his letters, all of his writings have this pattern. All of them really start out with doctrine. And then he turns to duty. In other words, he deals in the first half of the book, in the first proportion of an epistle or a letter, about doctrine, about position, about beliefs. And then he goes to behavior, or how we should conduct ourselves. And the reason that is because if you don't believe right, then we will not behave right. Amen. And so Paul, listen, here in Ephesians, the first three chapters, he deals with doctrine. He deals with our position in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 4, he begins to deal with our walk, our conduct, our manner of living. And I'll say again, it is important how we live. Amen. And I will look this tonight and try to be a help to you. But listen, I want to show you a few things about a worthy walk. Amen. And I'll be done. First of all, notice this. I want you to notice the perspective that Paul had in verse number 1. Look what he said in verse number 1. "I therefore the prisoner of the Lord." Amen. He said that in chapter number 3 and verse number 1. He said, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now we know that Paul was a prisoner at Rome when he penned this. But he did not say, "I'm a prisoner of Rome," though he was. But he said, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord." And so listen, in other words, Paul did not see his circumstance as an inconvenience. In other words, he saw what he was going through and the fact that he was in prison as the sovereign act of God, that God, in his divine plan, allowed him to be a prisoner at Rome. And so Paul here is not, he's not focused on his situation and he's not focused on his circumstance. And can I say, friend, listen, there's a lot of times we get focused on what's going on around us and we get focused even on our own circumstances and how the place that we find ourselves in. But I'm glad no matter where we are in this life that we still can have joy and we still have contentment. Amen. Why? Because, listen, it is the God of heaven that is running things. And Paul had a perspective and understood that it was God's unseen hand that was guiding his life and placed him in the place and in the position that he was in. So we see his perspective. Then notice this. Notice his plea in the text. He said in verse number 1 again, "I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy." Now this word beseech, it means to call to one side, to summons, to exhort, to entreat, to encourage, to strengthen by consolation, to instruct, or to teach. So Paul literally is saying, "I exhort you, I entreat you, I encourage you, I beg you to walk worthy of the vocation." This is a strong word. Paul, listen, is using some strong language to encourage this church to walk a walk that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus. Amen. And friend, listen, can I just say we should strive to walk a walk that is worthy, that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus. And so he is beseeching this church to walk worthy. Listen, he says here in the text, walk worthy. Now the word worthy is an interesting word. Yeah, listen, it literally means to balance the scales. The literal meaning is to bring up the arm of the scale. It has the idea of adding something of equal value. And so he's saying that our walk should match what Christ has done for us. Hey, listen, the value and all that Jesus has done for us, our walk should match that. It should balance out what he has done for us. And so our walk should be worthy. It should be pleasing. It should be edifying. Listen, he talks about the walk being worthy. Then notice this word in this verse. He said, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." The word vocation, it has the idea of a calling or an invitation. In other words, listen, that our walk should be worthy of the calling that God has placed on our life. Amen. I want to say, God, if you're saved tonight, God has placed a calling. He's called you unto salvation. You would not be saved otherwise unless God called you unto salvation. And so our walk should be worthy of the calling that God has placed on our life. Now, he starts out the verse. Listen, he says, "I therefore." Now we know that anytime we see that word therefore, we have to go back and see what he's talking about. I mentioned a moment ago that in the first 3 chapters of Ephesians, he deals with our position in Christ and all that we have in Christ Jesus. And let me say this, but listen, when I got saved May of 1999 on the right-hand side of the altar, I was not raised in church. I was not raised around the things of God. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about church or, fundamentalism. I didn't know anything about the things things of God. All I knew was I was a guilty sinner, condemned without God. And listen, I did not want to go to hell and burn forever. And I come to the altar that night and trusted the Lord Jesus simply because I did not want to go to hell. Now, some have said that's not a good enough reason to get saved. Well, I want to say it sounded pretty good to me. Amen. Amen. For I mean, I knew I was a guilty sinner. I knew I was going to hell without God. And I come to altar that night simply because I did not want to go to hell. But I tell you what I've been finding out down through these years. I've been finding out that salvation is much more than just missing hell. I'm glad I'm not going to hell tonight free, and I'm glad I never have to worry. Listen, about the lake of fire, I'm thankful for that, but salvation is so much more than just missing hell. And what God done for you and I the moment that He saved us, listen, was so much more than just delivering us from the condemnation, though He did. It is much more than that. And in the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul deals with what we have in Christ Jesus and the benefits of being a believer. Notice real quick in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Notice this, that listen, we have riches. Amen. Ephesians 1 verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look at verse number 7. He said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." You'll find riches mentioned several times in these first three chapters. I want to say tonight, friend, that I may not have much in this old world, but I'm rich in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gave me and blessed me with all spiritual blessings. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. Listen, He didn't hold anything back, but He blessed me. I'm not looking for a second blessing. He gave me everything I needed that night when I got saved by the grace of God. And so we have, as a believer, we have riches. Amen. Then, notice in verse number 7, we have redemption. Amen. Verse number 7, I done read the verse, "In whom we have redemption." Amen. Hey, listen, thank God we have been redeemed. We've been freed from the auction block of sin. I'm telling you, I could not help myself. I could not change myself. I could not turn. I could not quit my sin or quit doing what I was doing. Every time I tried, seems like I would end right back up in the same sin that I was in before, only to be much worse. Because I was bound, and there was nothing I can do. But thank God Jesus came to where I was and, listen, bought me off the auction block of sin and set me free and freed me from the power of sin and from the penalty of sin. Hey, listen, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not bound by the chains of sin, but we have been set free in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we have redemption. We have riches. But let me say this. Verse number 11 of chapter 1, we have received an inheritance. Amen. Verse number 11, he said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. And so we have obtained an inheritance. Amen. Listen, thank God we have an inheritance tonight. Listen, thank God, listen. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. We have an inheritance reserved for us. I'm telling you, listen, aren't you thankful for heaven tonight, friend? Amen. Hey, listen, that is a real place, and we have an inheritance waiting on us on the other side. Amen. And then notice he talks about this. He talks about chapter 2 and the first 5 verses. He talks about being regenerated. Chapter 2, verse number 1, he said, "You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. I don't have time to preach all this, but you know this tonight. Listen, the Bible's very clear. We were dead. Amen. There was absolutely nothing we could do to help ourselves. There was nothing we could do to get to God on our own. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible said in Romans 5:12, but God commended His love toward... listen, that's 5:8, 5:12. By one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Hey, listen, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But thank God, listen, the Bible said, ye hath He quickened. How the Spirit of God moved upon our dead spirit and imparted life unto you and I. Hey, listen, and imparted a new life. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away, and behold, all things are become new. How? Because I was dead in my sin. I could not live for God. I had no desire for the things of God, but God, through the Spirit of God, imparted new life. And listen, changed my life. I'm glad tonight I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. And God breathed on my dead spirit and gave me a new life, friend. And now, listen, I can live for Him because I have been regenerated. Amen. He talks about regeneration. He talks about reconciliation, verse number 13 of chapter 2. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Verse 16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so not only are we regenerated, but we're reconciled. Amen. Reconciled speaks of a relationship. How that relationship has been restored. Amen. Hey, listen, God made Adam and put him in the garden, and he had a perfect relationship with God, but he disobeyed God, and sin entered into this world and marred that relationship. But listen, God had an advocate. He had a daysman in the Lord Jesus Christ that would come to this world. He was a man so He could touch man, but He was God so He could touch God. And through Him, we are put back together in a right relationship with God, and we're reconciled through the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh yeah, he talks about our reach in chapter 3, verse number 12. Amen. Chapter 3, verse number 12. He said, wherefore, that's verse number 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad I can reach up into heaven. Amen. Hey, I've got boldness and access. Amen. One writer talked about Elijah when he prayed and God shut up the heavens. He just said he prayed and God reached up and turned the heavens off. Amen. And it did not rain for the space of 3.5 years. I'm glad tonight, listen, that we've got access to the throne of grace. And we can reach up into heaven and we've got access to the throne of God. Amen. I'm telling you, I may not have access with the president. I may not have access with the men of this world. But there is a God in heaven that's got all power in heaven and earth. Listen, that we have access. Amen. He talks about reinforcement, chapter 3, verse number 15, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And so we have reinforcement. What are you talking about? He's talking about, listen, he said there in verse number 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Amen. And so God did not leave us in this world alone, but He sent the Comforter, the Spirit of God, to indwell us, to strengthen us, to help us, and to comfort us, and guide us, and direct us in this world. Amen. Hey, listen, we can be strengthened in the inner man through the Spirit of God. Amen. And then He talks about our resource in verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What about that? Oh, according to the power that worketh in us. He is able to do all things above and exceedingly. We can even think or ask. Amen. Hey, aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God? Hey, listen, that's able to do all things above. We can think or even ask. Amen. Hey, listen, there's things that God can do that my mind cannot even comprehend. How that I can't even think. Hey, listen, we have a resource in heaven, friend. Amen. Now we come to chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Amen. Hey, listen, because you've been redeemed, because you've been reconciled, because you've been regenerated, because you're rich in the Lord Jesus, because you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside, and you've got access to heaven because all that God has done for you when you got saved by the grace of God, because of what He's done, your walk should be worthy of the calling of the salvation that you have received. Amen. Amen. Notice, listen, he talks about a plea. Then notice the path tonight. Amen. In chapter number 4, through the rest of the book, he talks again about our conduct, our walk, how we're to live our, and the reason we should strive to walk after this manner, it's because of what he's done for us and in us and through us and all that we have in him. I think a lot of people, friend, if they ever realize who they are in Christ Jesus, I'm in him and he's in me. I'm telling you, thank God, listen, that's a wonderful truth tonight, our position in Christ. And when you understand that the position that you have in Christ, all that he has done for you, then listen, it makes it easy to strive to walk the walk or to live the life that is worthy of the vocation. Amen. He talks about our walk in his last three chapters. Let me give you three or four walks that he talks about, and I won't look at them too much tonight. But notice in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, he talks about a walk of unity. Look what he said in chapter 4, and look in verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He talks about unity. Look in verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. And listen, let's skip down to verse number. Well, let's just read it. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man of the measure of stature, the fullness of Christ. And so we should strive for unity. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about that. But God help us in this day as a church of the living God. We are to strive to come together with one mind and one accord. Paul exhorting the church of Philippi. Hey, listen, to strive together for the furtherance of the gospel. With one mind for the furtherance of the gospel. And God help us how to put away our petty differences and come together with one common goal. And it is, listen, for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. So we're to strive for unity. Amen. I'm telling you, there's some people always looking for a fight. Amen. I mean, they're always looking for a fight. Amen. Every time they ask you a question, it's a loaded question. Amen. Listen, we ought to strive for unity. But notice, not only unity in verse number 17 through chapter 5, verse number 16, it is a walk of purity. Amen. Look at verse 17, chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. Then he describes that walk. having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling had given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus that you put off concerning the former conversation. You know that word conversation has to do with conduct. The former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. He's simply saying this, listen, if you've been redeemed, if you've been regenerated, if you're saved by the grace of God, if God's done a work in your life, then you should not live like you lived before He saved you, before He done a work in your heart. Amen. You should not, listen, you should not live as other Gentiles with their minds being darkened and alienated from the things of God. There's a lot of people in our day that are professing to know God, but they're still walking after the course of this world. Friend, I'm telling you how Paul is exhorting the believer to move on unto perfection and, listen, turn their back on the world and separate and walk a walk of purity and, listen, cleanliness in this present world. Amen. Amen, friend. God help us, friend. In this day, there's so much... There's so much wickedness and worldliness in our churches in the day and time we're living in. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but isn't it true? Listen, there's so much corrupt communication and wickedness and people living. I mean, they want to put it all over Facebook. They're proud of their sin and they're proud of the life they're living. God, help us tonight as believers how to walk a walk how that is worthy of the vocation we are called. That is a walk of purity. It's a walk of holiness. Amen. I hear people all the time talk about old-time religion. They want old-time religion. Hey, listen, most people have no idea what that's talking about. Amen, friend. How can I tell you what old-time religion is? It's holy living. It's separated living, friend. And God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. It's coming out among the world. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Hey, it's looking different from the world. It's dressing different from the world. It's acting different from the world. Hey, it is a walk of purity. Amen. Amen. It's a walk of purity. Then notice this. Notice it's a walk of harmony. Look at chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk. We heard a little bit about this verse this morning. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what we need. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, the spiritual song singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband. I don't have to read all these verses. You listen, everybody in here is familiar with this passage. But he said, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, be ye filled with the Spirit. And in the immediate context, he begins to discuss the relationship between a husband and a wife. Amen. And that we dwell together in harmony, that our relationship in our home be one that is worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And can I say this according to the context? The only way that will ever happen is that you and I are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Yeah, listen, if we're going to have the right harmony in our home, we must be empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen, friend. As men, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. We're not the Lord over her, but to love her and to nourish her and to cherish her and to take care of her. Amen. And to be the leader that God has called us to be and commanded us to be. And the wives should submit unto their own husbands. I said under their own husbands, not to somebody else, under their own husbands. Hey, amen, friend. How wives submit themselves under their own husbands. Amen. Years ago, talking to my pastor, and we were discussing some things, and he told me this. I'll never forget it. I first got saved and started really trying to serve the Lord, and my wife was not saved at the time, and it caused some conflict. But my pastor, he told me this. He said, most women will not have a hard time submitting to a man that's completely submitted to God. Amen. Now he said, if you will be completely, he said, now she's saved, that is. He said, she will not, if you are completely submitted. I'm going to tell you what the problem is, men. Hey, we want to badmouth our wives about what they're doing. It could be that we're not submitted unto the Lord. Listen, how we should be. Amen. And those ants are getting quiet now. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We need harmony in the home. Amen. Amen. And so he talks about a walk of harmony. Then he talks, chapter 6, about a walk of victory. Chapter 6, verse 10, look at it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Look at verse 15. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he implies the walk here. It is a walk of victory. Amen. And can I just say tonight that God wants you and I to have victory in this world. Amen. Hey, listen, we're not to walk around defeated and listen, discouraged and up and down, but it's a walk. We can have victory. We're commanded to have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a walk that is worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called is a walk of victory that is walking in the power of the Spirit of God, having victory over the flesh and having victory, over the principalities and powers and rulers of this world. It is a walk of victory. Amen. Listen, most people never understand what that is. Most people are defeated. Amen. They live the majority of their Christian life in defeat. They never get victory over sin. They never get victory over themselves. But I'm telling you, it's possible to have victory tonight. Amen. But we'll never have it in the energy of the flesh. Amen. Let me stop and say this. Listen to me. The Christian life is not an imitation. It's not you and I trying to be like Christ. Amen. It's not us trying to imitate Christ. It's not us trying to be like Him. Amen. Now it's quiet tonight, but that's right. You know why? Because it's impossible for you and I to be like Him. It's impossible for you and I to imitate Him. Amen. Amen. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Hey, listen, he was without, he that knew no sin became sin. He was without sin. He knew no sin. He was perfect and harmless and undefiled. He did not have a sin nature. Amen. And it's impossible for me, to be like him. Amen. Amen. But thank God when I got saved, the Spirit of God, amen. Hey, listen, the person of the Holy Ghost. I said the person of the Holy Ghost. Moved in on the inside. Amen. And he can do what I cannot do. And the Christian life is not you and I trying to live for God or trying to keep his commandments or trying to do these things. It's you and I yielding ourselves to him and getting ourselves out of the way and allowing him to live in us and through us. And that he is manifested in our life. That his fruit is manifested in our life. It is a spiritual walk. Amen. That's why so many walk in defeat. They're trying to do it in the arm of the flesh. Instead of the power of the Spirit, amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. It is a walk of victory, amen. Paul, and again in our text, he exhorts this church. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all that he's done for you and I, all that we have in him, all that he's given us and all, listen, that we have because of him. It's the least we can do. He said it this way. Listen, in his epistle to the Romans, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Amen. It's just reasonable. When you think about all He's done, all He's given you, and all you have because of Christ, it's just reasonable that you would give your life to Him. It's just reasonable that you would dedicate your life to Him. It's just reasonable that you would walk a walk that is worthy of all that He's done for us. Amen. It's a worthy walk. Amen. Now again, people saying this day, how we live is not important. I'm telling you what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches it's very important. Amen. It is very important how we conduct ourselves in this world. Amen. And so why is it? Well, we know they're watching. Amen. We know they're watching. I'll tell you this, and I'm done. I'm going to pray, and we'll be done here in just a moment. But listen, I was years ago, had a man that I was witnessing to on the job, and I talked to him for several days in a row, and God was dealing with his heart. He was asking questions. He was concerned about what was going on. He was concerned about eternity. He didn't understand the Scriptures, and he was intrigued, and boy, God was working in his heart. And every day he'd come in with a new question, and we'd just discuss the Scriptures, and I would talk to him about getting saved. And that went on for several days. After several days, they moved him to another part of the factory that we were working in, and after a couple weeks, they brought him back to where I was, and I began to talk to him about the Lord again. And he said, "I don't want to hear it." He said, "I don't want to hear that anymore from you." And my first thought was, "What did I do?" And I said, "What did I do?" He said, "You didn't do anything." He said, "But they put me down there beside this certain individual, and he said he knew that you'd been talking to me about the Lord." So he started talking to me. And he said, "But he cusses more than I do. And he drinks more than I do. Amen. And he tells more filthy jokes than I did." And he said, "If that man's going to heaven, I know I am." And to this day, I have not been able to talk to him about the Lord. To this day, he's closed his heart and his mind to the gospel. Hey, listen, it is important that we walk a walk that is worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Amen. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Preacher, you come. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for mercy tonight. Thank you for grace. Lord, I pray you touch every heart and meet every need. Lord, if there's one lost, God, I pray you draw them unto yourself. Lord, I pray that come to you in faith and repentance. Lord, I pray, God, you'd move in this place tonight. Help the preacher that will come. Touch the remainder of the service in Jesus' name. Amen.